Lord, we need to serve our college community, to use our resources wisely and well, to represent all members of our community fairly, to make decisions that promote the common good. We recognize our responsibility to the past and the future, and the rights and needs of both individuals and the college. As trusted servants, we seek guidance on our deliberations and on our efforts here today. May we act wisely and well. In your name we pray. Amen. Please face the flag for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And before Dr. Bell gets away, I just want to recognize Dr. Bell for the many things she's done for our institution, not the least of which is bringing live music back to our commencement. We used to have recorded music, and it's so wonderful. Share with you, it is in my report, but I want to give you an update on where we stand with nursing. Everybody knows we've been working really hard as a goal to expand the number of nurses we can take into our program to the capacity that our physical plant will allow. That number is around the 315, 320. Our base number is about 160. Several years ago, we had some non-recurring money we received through the legislature that allowed us to up that number to 220. For a while, that money is coming to the end of its time, and if we aren't able to find a way to replenish that, we'll be back to that 160 student level for next fall, but we're working fast and furiously not only to replace that, but to expand so we can get to that 315 and 320. So a couple of things we've worked on is with the Charles and Maraji Baranchik Foundation, where we're able to get $450,000. That's over a two-year period of time to help us launch the evening weekend program. This is something that Dr. Fritsch and the folks in nursing have been working on to find a way to expand our capacity at times when we would have availability, particularly in our sim lab and with our faculty. So that's really exciting. So we're going to get started with that program. And the second is the Gulf Coast Community Foundation. Their $150,000 is toward helping us continue to take the additional students up to that 220 level. With that in mind, thank you, Trustee Goodson, and I have been working together to try and get our local hospitals to participate with us in this endeavor. We have a verbal agreement from Sarasota Memorial Hospital to partner with us, and for a lesser amount with the Venice Regional Hospital to partner with us. We're still trying to broker some sort of arrangement with both the UHS and the HCA hospitals, who seem to have a bit of a rivalry with one another, but we're not stopping. We also are working with Cassandra and the foundation to look for additional resources to other foundations to at least let us continue at that 220 level, and then, of course, adding to that our evening weekend. So we're still scrapping and fighting. We do think that if we can get to that 320 level, we'll be in a position to take the students who apply to us who meet the entry qualifications. And so that's the goal. That's where we want to be. Other than that, the other thing that has been happening that you may have heard about already, but that I want to reiterate again, if you saw the big trucks out in the parking lot with the trailers behind them, we have developed a relationship with Fleet Force where we're providing facilities for them to offer their commercial truck driver license courses here on campus and then do their in-the-truck training here. With a little luck, maybe we'll be able to expand that, but for right now, it's here on the Bradenton campus, and we're really excited to be able to be in this business where we know there's high demand, high wage, all the things that check the box in workforce, and also can help with the with the supply shortages that we have. So that's another really exciting thing that has been happening here at the State College of Florida. And with that, I would really love to turn it over to the other thing that I just love, and that is Desh Bagley, and let her take it away with the Coding Academy. Desh is the director of our Coding Academy and hit the ground running roughly 6, 7, 8 months ago or so, but started right out of the blocks this summer with some great camps, and she's going to tell us all about it.
Yes, I am going to attempt to tell you all about it. I'm Desh Bagley, and I'm excited to be a proud Manatee as the director of the Coding Academy. And better work with technology in front of a large group. You understand why I'm shaking in my boots right now, right? What I would like to just demonstrate really fast, and my apologies earlier for the disruption, but just to show you how we have these two humanoid robots in the Coding Academy, which we are using for marketing, number one, to excite our students about computer science. Computer science can often seem intimidating to people, but I would like to let people know that computer science is for everybody. If you're interested in being able to boss people around, but you can't boss around your husband or your spouse, I promise you, you can boss around the robot and they won't talk back. And that's what we call coding. That's an algorithm. So I'm going to see. This is Jane. Jane has been with me since 2014. We're going to see if she'll stand up first and say a few words. Jane has sensors, motors. She balances with the sensors on the bottom of her feet.
Hello, I'm Jane. Greetings, Madam Chair. It's great to be here today. I'd like to introduce you to Cody. He's the new kid on the block.
So as I mentioned, Jane has these sensors on the bottom of her feet, and the sensors are a little sensitive to frictionless.
Greetings, the CF4 friction. Chair, Tracy Munt. Greetings to all board members. Dr. P, it's good to see you again. Thank you for the invitation to attend tonight's board meeting. My name is Cody and I am a humanoid robot. I was brought onto the team to help with industry certification training. I demonstrate software development using the Python programming language. I help students understand machine learning, artificial intelligence, and smart machines. My system can be programmed by SCF students majoring in computer science, as well as students who would never have dreamed of having a career in information technology. I'm located on the second floor of the 26 West Center in the SCF Coding Academy. Please visit anytime. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to the director of the SCF IT Coding Academy, Desh Bagley.
I'm going to pass this off to Marcy and to Philip so that they are not a distraction. But did you guys notice how Jane fell down? And I know we probably all went, right? But in computer science and engineering, we actually do want things to break. We want them to fall down. We want to fail, but we want to fail forward and we want to fail fast. And then what happens is it builds persistence and perseverance, and it builds that type of mentality that our industry partners are looking for in our students to let us know that, yes, we can make mistakes, but by golly, we're going to fix those mistakes and we're going to keep it moving. So that's the coding academy mentality. We are boldly leading, according to the strategic plan set forth by our president and by the board, toward helping our industry partners fill their talent pipeline. We're starting with the kindergartners, and we're going all the way up to our community members who are employed, unemployed, and furloughed. We are diversifying our Coding Academy offerings, so you may have heard of cybersecurity. We're offering those courses. Software engineering, 6-month boot camps, we're offering those. But we're also working with industry partners to diversify our audience. So we're going to talk a little bit about our audience, the STEM camps, and how we intentionally reached out to the Newtown community to engage some students in that historic neighborhood in Sarasota to bring them to our campus. We'll talk about the industry certifications that we offer and how our industry partners are excited about those. And then we have some really deep, immersive career development boot camps. And so the boot camps cost a little more, but we think that investment yields a whole lot more. Finally, we'll talk about the innovation zone within the Coding Academy that has our robots, our 3D printers, and our drones, and First Lego League. And of course, how do our students pay for these things? What are some of the funding sources? Here's a quick look at our STEM camps this summer. We had 200. 694 students from across Sarasota and Manatee. We had second grade on up through 12th grade. $30,000 in donations. Thank you, Cassandra, and the foundation. We appreciate that. And we have $45,000 in revenue after we paid all of our expenses. We discovered that our students were very attentive because they knew at the end of the week they could take their Android robots home with them, thanks to our community partners. We had Manatee money that we gave out for our campers, Manatee money for the little ones. On Fridays, they got to buy things. They got to engage in some fun video game playing. Because normally we don't play video games in the Coding Academy. But on Friday, if you pay to play, you can play. So it was a great incentive to keep everybody working hard, being diligent, and focusing on our goals. And as you can see, we had 30% girls, 30% free and reduced lunch students, and 30% underrepresented groups. It was a very, very good year, very good summer. This fall, we started with our industry certification workshops. We're focusing on women in technology to start with. Thanks to Bank of America, we received a grant to offer some digital foundation courses, some Microsoft platform courses, just to build a foundation. From there, those women who are looking for work, looking for jobs, can take more certifications with us, thanks to Bank of America. CompTIA is an industry standard for certification. CompTIA offers everything from hardware, an A-plus certification, to cybersecurity, a security plus certification, to networking, the network plus. We are an authorized partner, SCF is, and so we get great vouchers and great discounts and great curriculum for our students. Finally, the CEH stands for ethical hacking, drones. I met with VGE today, and VGE, a land development company, told me that they are looking for young people who understand CAD and drones so that they can expand their talent pipeline. What we're really excited about are our boot camps. When I first was interviewed for this job, I did a little Google search to see what the Coding Academy should be, and Dr. P said that the Coding Academy would be a transformational opportunity for people to gain the skills that they need to get the jobs that they want. And the main way we see that happening is through six-month, highly immersive, highly rigorous boot camps. And we partner with some of the best. Flatiron, for those of you that know about computer science and software engineering job training, is the top in the nation. They have relationships with Yale, relationships with Harvard, and now there's a relationship with the State College of Florida. And we are super excited to bring that to our students. Thus far this week, I've had 7 phone calls about people interested in that boot camp. And what they said, and I quote is, I can't believe it. I can't believe I've been looking for boot camps, and now all of a sudden I see SCF is partnered with Flatiron. I can't believe it. Could it really be? And it can. Cybit is our vendor for cybersecurity. And you may be wondering, why are you going with vendors, Dash? What's that all about? We decided not to recreate the wheel. If there are already great companies offering this certification at a rate that works for our students, and at a pace that fits for our industry partners, why should we recreate it? We're gonna partner with them and offer the best. They give us their instructors, and then we also provide our own instructors. Our instructors serve as mentors. So you can talk to Bill Comer and Jason Reed, and yes, I'm taking their faculty. So their faculty will work on the credit side, and then the SCF faculty will come and work on the non-credit side as adjuncts for me at night and on Saturdays when we're doing our boot camp. And then finally, the next relationship I'm excited about is our Amazon Web Services Academy. There are 3 colleges in the state of Florida that have that relationship, Miami-Dade College, Broward College, and now the State College of Florida. We are an AWS Academy. We're super excited about that. Amazon will work with us to give curriculum and vouchers and all that good stuff, but even more importantly, they're going to work with us to find industry partners to place our graduates into careers. So as you can see, the prices, you know, they're a little steep, but we definitely think the investment is worth it. And it's 6 months. And so everybody says, well, 6 months, that might be a long time. It's not that long of a time, especially if you know it's going to lead to a great career. Our innovation zone has been the hit of most newspaper articles. When they come to get the tour in 26 West, and Kim does a great job of showing them everything, and then they come to the Coding Academy, and they see the virtual reality goggles, and the 3D printers, and the drones, and they're like, well, what's this all about? Some of it is prototyping for our entrepreneurs. Some of it is just engaging our students to see where they fit in as far as information technology. To let them know that this could be your job. You could be a CAD designer. You could be the person creating the virtual world. Why just play in the virtual world? Why don't you make your own? Be the creator. And those jobs are coming. We call those emerging jobs. And then I will talk a little bit about First Lego League. Has anybody heard of First Lego League? Let me ask that question. Okay, Mike. Oh, Mercy, you've heard of First Lego League. That's awesome. Okay, have you heard of Vex Robotics? Okay, there are two main international STEM programs for young people that try to reach them through robots, FIRST and Vex. I am the regional partner for First Lego League in our 16-county region. So from Citrus, Hernando, Pasco, Go Inlands and Glades and Highlands, all the way down to Collier and Monroe County, including Sarasota Manatee, we, SCF, are the partner. Every time there's a tournament in one of those counties for First Lego League, the SCF banner is there. When there's the state championship, SCF is here. We are bringing students onto our campus who may have never considered the State College of Florida at all, and starting in second grade through ninth grade, they get a chance to see our wonderful institution and all the AS and AA programs that we have to offer. So that's First Lego League. We're in 16 counties. We get great sponsorships thanks to the foundation, but we also impact a lot of lives, and I've been doing that now for 5 years. So how do we pay for all of these things? DEO grant, right? Congratulations, 3.9 million, that's what brought me here. So that was our start off. That's our equipment funds that help get the ball rolling. Recently, thanks to Dr. Hale and Dr. Fritsch, $700,000. I think Dr. P was the one that brought it to Terry to say you guys should look into this grant. The Florida Department of Education had grant monies to give out, and we got $700,000 out of that. We are able to give up to $3,000 per student per program for the Coding Academy. This is unique because we're not on the credit side. You know, we're on the non-credit side. We can't take Pell Grants. We can't take student loans. We had to find some type of way to make our programs affordable for our students, and that Open Door $700,000 grant is going to do just that. And of course, we're going to have a great partnership with CareerSource. We're going to try to offer some payment plans through NELNET. And then we're going to ask the foundation to come on board and help us support some of those students on the non-credit side. And that is my presentation, everybody. Thank you. Any questions?
First of all, your presentation was phenomenal. I'm just completely knocked out by everything that's happening and how valuable this is to our community. But like you pointed out, it's a non-like the Coding Academy, especially the boot camps, are non-credit. Is that something that we can offer scholarship dollars for?
We don't want to offer our scholarship dollars on the non-credit side, but we do want to work with our partners like CareerSource, who already have WIOA funds available, and see if our students can get some of those funds. And then from there, we offer stackable credits. And so we've been working a lot with Mike Kiefer on how we can take some of our certifications that students have earned and then apply those toward an AS degree to help our students get both. They get the industry certification and they get the school credit. So.
Yes. Have the industry associations been supportive, or have we reached out to them at all?
Yes, oh yes. First 30 days, I reached out to EDCs on both sides, Bradenton and Sarasota, and those industry partners came together with a roundtable, and they told me exactly what now, yes, during COVID, exactly. So that's how we came up with software engineering, cybersecurity, and Amazon Web Services.
Are they coming up with funds?
I think they want to see some proof in the pudding, because we've been talking about the Coding Academy now for a while. And they're wondering, what will your graduates look like, Daish? And so right now for me, I'm going to have some fantastic graduates that they can see. And then they'll probably want to come on board. So no funds yet, but not to say that that won't happen. And I haven't asked them for funds. I have asked them for mentors and experts. And if you guys don't mind passing that information on, we need industry mentors. We need
company would send their employees here to learn?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we could do that?
Oh, yes. They've been, even before I came on board, they were doing that for sure.
Okay. Yes. So we do have corporations that are sending employees and paying for those employees.
Yes. PGT does that. There's manufacturing. Chris Pratt, mm-hmm. the boat manufacturer, they're doing that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate
thank
it. I was a little
you.
Nervous. Thank you
great
guys
job.
For being patient with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I just wish she had more energy and enthusiasm.
I had one quick question, and Julie's not here, but on page 25, actually about three different locations. It's mentioned that last line, state support at this point in the year was unusually low due to a 6% state appropriation holdback. It's also mentioned in another one of the summaries. Carol, is this something you should be concerned about? I mean, what is this holdback that they're talking about? Because when you look at it on the collegiate side, it said that a state support is $46,708 compared to a three-year average of $87,000 at this time of year, which is, you know, half.
Every year with the state, they have to meet their obligations for Bright Futures and everything else before they can start sharing lottery money with us. So every year that number is kind of fluctuates, and so it's usually about February or so that we start to get back on track with our funding for the year, but it's because they have to meet those obligations first.
So it's not a thing we should be concerned about. This is money's coming, it's just
money's
not
coming.
A timing issue. And it's not an enrollment issue, right? Is our enrollment, how is our enrollment for next semester?
For next semester? Right now, we're looking better. Today, we had our void, and we're down just a little bit more than 5%, which is quite a bit ahead of where we were for fall, which is great. We were down a little bit on enrollment for the year, but what's happening in the spring is going to catch us back up somewhat. So we're pretty optimistic about where we are with spring, and we're hoping that that's an indication of where it's going, and students are starting to come back and making those decisions again to re-engage with school.
That's good. That's good. Okay, good. Thanks.
Any questions? Right. I'll
make a
motion to approve the financial consent agenda.
Move approval of the financial consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Agenda passes. Facilities.
So I got two items tonight. As you all know, the supply chain challenges have not changed, and we're feeling it from a construction materials equipment lead times are just crazy. And the two items I'm going to talk about tonight have a 5-month lead time. So the dental hygiene equipment, 5 months, and then the pre-engineered metal buildings for both softball, baseball, batting cage covers. Both of those are summer schedules, so we need to pull the trigger now if there's two items here. So the first item is the dental hygiene, which is board approved. Are you picking me up?
Did you click the button?
I'll talk loud. So the board approved the dental hygiene project. It is CARES or HERC funded. We're using Don Swift as a CM through our continuing contract. The plan is to take the guaranteed maximum price contract to the March board. However, again, the equipment's got a 5-month lead time, so we're going to try to pull the trigger, get the PO issued for that equipment actually this week. So we developed equipment specs. We advertised, we got competitive bids. You can see Patterson Dental, they came in at $456,923.25 per bid. So requesting board approval of the contract with Patterson. It is within the $1 million budget. This does include installation as part of the purchase. So looking for board approval.
And Chairman, so moved.
Second.
On favor?
Aye.
Okay, the second item is the roof coverage for the batting cages for both softball and baseball. Again, the board approved it. It's a combination of donations, Saver, and CIF funding. We're utilizing Tandem as a construction manager. Again, through our continuing contract, the... Am I that quiet?
Yes.
I'm recording you, are you?
Okay. Again, we're going to take the guaranteed maximum price contract to the February board. But we want to release the pre-engineered metal building, have it here by summer time frame. So we produce the documents, we advertise, we have competitive bids. You can see how Allied Steel Buildings came in at 142 and 24 as a low bidder. So looking to contract with Allied Steel. It is within our $600,000 budget, and it does not include installation, which will fall under Tandem under their guaranteed maximum price. So looking for
So
moved.
Second.
On favor? Aye. Aye. Madam Chairman, a comment. If you look at these numbers, you see the huge spread for these three vendors. This is what happens in an economy like this in the construction industry. Triton's probably the largest of all three of those. Does a huge amount of work in this area. But I'll guarantee you what's going on is that they're swamped. And so, therefore, they just throw a number in because they want to stay on the bid list. Mm-hmm. As you can see, these are just numbers that are just outrageous. These spreads, you never, in a hard time, you never see these kind of spreads. That's why you have to really watch these bids and why it's good to go with the way we're doing it and the hard bid with some of this stuff.
I suppose we should consider ourselves fortunate that we're able to get bids that are even within our budget. Price inflation and supply chain problems and capacity. That's a really good point. Okay, moving on to some old business. Everyone, thank you for filling out your board self-evaluation just a couple of weeks ago. All of the responses were tabulated, and overall, it was really quite good. The majority of responses fell into either a 4 or a 5, with those being on the better side, better end of the spectrum. A few fell into 3 on a couple of things. The recap is that 58% of the responses were a 5, 33% were a 4, and 9% were a 3. So if there's, well, first of all, I say they're good, but we strive for excellence, right? There's always room for improvement. And if there's any theme looking at the responses and some of the comments, I'd say it's mainly just I don't really understand something, or I don't have enough knowledge about something at the college or something that the college does or college programs, which is really understandable because it's a very large institution with so many moving parts, and we have essentially an hour a month to try to absorb so many things that are happening. But I would first of all encourage everybody to, if there's something that you really feel like you need to understand better, reach out and ask. Dr. Hochschild and the whole leadership team, I know, is really happy to help you, provide more information, direct you to resources, and you know, the sense that I've gotten over the years is they really enjoy that. So don't hesitate if there's something that you just feel like you need to know more about. And ask questions here, too. You know, we've been moving through meetings pretty quickly, but I think, and a lot of us will tend to ask more questions earlier in our board service because we finally start, you know, understand something is clicking as we spend more time on the board. But I mean, one of the comments under what areas could the board improve on is question staff to ensure both understanding and that effective policies are being pursued. So don't ever hesitate. And if we need to have longer meetings, then I think we're happy to do it. Another thing, and this is, I think, one of my comments, is just in terms of concerns, is that we continue to maintain a robust board of trustees. There is definitely an attrition rate. I think I came on in 2017. Roger,
Just before that,
Dom and I think came on at the same time. And there's definitely been attrition. So I think really one of our main responsibilities as a board is to always be looking out into the community for potential board prospects. I think we have a good sense of the qualities of a good board member. And but I think, you know, we all get so wrapped up in our daily lives that we kind of, maybe we're not paying attention to it, we're not focusing on it. So I just encourage all of us to be thinking about who else is out there that might be a great board prospect, would bring something valuable to us, and start the process. You know, get them to apply. Of course, it's not an easy process. It can be slow, but we need to do whatever we can to try to keep the pipeline.
Tracy, how many seats are we short now? I mean, how many
two
openings? And there are two in the pipeline that the governor hasn't appointed yet, or they're not in the pipeline?
We have at least two in the pipeline.
Yep.
Yeah, and there's no guarantee those people will ever be approved.
Right.
So it's better to have multiple applications at the same time because we don't know who might be approved and who might not. And, you know, things happen. And you never know when someone might have to leave the board unexpectedly. Another conversation that came up as a result of this, going back to, you know, I wish I knew more about ABCT, one of the comments that came up and is really top of mind in the community all over the country, our mission moment touched on it, is meeting workforce needs. Our employers here, as well as everywhere, are almost at the point of desperation because they can't fill their positions. And really, that's what we're here for. Our college is here to help our employers and our businesses and our community and fill the, you know, meet the workforce needs. And I think there's a whole lot more that we can learn about what SDF is doing, how they're staying on top of the data locally and understanding what exactly is going on in the labor market and what the workforce needs are, and how they're essentially matchmaking and trying to match graduates with open positions. So we came up with the thought of, we can do separate workshops on specific topics like that. And Dr. Proudy. Now, this is a big caveat. It's possible, and then we'd have to do a little bit more vetting first, but it's possible if we wanted to do a specific workshop, we could do it virtually. Now, of course, we couldn't vote. There's a lot of things that, you know, we'd have some restrictions, but my question is, if we find out that we can do that, would anybody be interested in participating?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pull a lot of workshops together in person, but we thought if we legally can do it virtually, we'd probably get some better participation, and I'm sure we all greatly appreciate it. And then if there's anything else that we think is just really, really important and that we need to workshop on, you know, maybe we can do other workshops too. But it would be great. Caveat, like I said, has to be thoroughly vetted, but it would be really great if we can do some of those virtually on Zoom or Teams or whatever it is. Okay? All right, well, thank you. And moving on to HERF with Lydia Loiter. And Julia's out, by the way, she had a hip replacement.
Good evening, everybody. I think I don't need the mic, but I'll ask my colleagues in the back to pull on their air if they can't hear me. I'll pick up the mic. Does that sound okay? Usually they say they leave the best for last, but after seeing Dacia's performance, I'm not sure that was the case. So I'm here tonight to talk to you about the Higher Education Emergency Relief Funds. This is a request from the last board meeting, so I'll try to do Julie justice since she's not here. So you're going to hear me refer to something called HERF, and that's what we, the Higher Education Relief Funds. Before we get into that, let me just back up a little bit. You might also have heard the term CARES. Right? The Coronavirus Relief Economic Security Act was passed by Congress, and it rolled out $2.2 trillion to provide aid as a result of the pandemic to the country. As a result of that money, $14 billion was given to the Board of Education, and State College of Florida got a portion of that funding. So let's go ahead and see that. Back there. There you go. So March 27th was when the aid rolled out, 2020. We got three buckets of money, if you want to call it that, a student portion, an institutional portion, and a strengthening institutions portion. And the amounts are listed on the screen. So $2.5 million roughly for student institutional and strengthening about $250,000 for a total of a little over $5 million. We got that back in March of 2020 with specific reasons on how to use it. Then the pandemic rolled on. So in December of 2020, we got some more money from the HERF funding. They called it this time, they called it CRISA from the federal government. We are calling it HERF 2. Let's just keep it straight. It's HERF 1, HERF 2, and now you see that the student portion was dissimilar to the first section, which is $2.5 million. $8 million was given in the institutional portion, and the strengthening institutions got an additional about $400,000. Pandemic rolled on, we got a little bit more money. So we got, in March, we got student portion, a little over $9 million, and then institutional portion, a little over $9 million, and strengthening institutions, a little over $800,000. No more money so far. Here's where we are as a, this is just a chart just to show you exactly where we are as an institution and what we receive. The total is approximately $35 million, close to $36 million. You asked in the last meeting, when do we need to use this money back, right? So when we got the money, we were told we had a year, 12 months to use it. But you see these dates don't match with what I showed you before. It's because the State College of Florida got a no-cost extension of 12 months from the date of the notification of the grant. So the student portion, we have gotten an extension to use the portion up until the date you see there. Institutional portion, that's where it is. And strength and institutional portions were pending an extension request right now. That's the smallest bucket of money, and we would conceivably use that up before we need to get an extension. But we are asking for an extension because the pandemic is still rolling on. We want to make sure that we're utilizing our funds appropriately. I tell you that we were one of the first institutions in the state of Florida to actually get the extensions, and I understood based on chatter that a lot of our sister institutions are just trying now to get their extensions. And most of the grants are going to be, the first set of grants are going to be up in January, so we wish them luck with that. And I was also told that there's one program coordinator at the federal level for the entire state of Florida who's approving these extensions. So we are in good place where we are right now. The higher education relief funds, as the funds rolled out, the first one, the second one, and the third one, guidance changed. It changed daily, almost hourly. We were on it. Webinar after webinar, meeting after meeting, phone call, paper, I cannot tell you how many hours were spent by a number of people at this institution trying to stay on top of the compliance with the grant. And we really feel like we're in a very good place with it. With the last round of monies, the federal government added two considerations that you must do. Not considerations, but they're required. You must do this with the money that you receive, right? So we must implement evidence-based practices to monitor and suppress coronavirus. And that's things like the plexiglass that you see, social distancing, wear your mask, all the signage, extra cleaning, and the heating, ventilation, air conditioning work that we're going to be doing. It's all evidence-based practices. So we are meeting that requirement. Conduct direct outreach to financial aid applicants about opportunities to receive financial aid. We started doing that from the very beginning. We have documented it every Thursday since September. Students have been getting notice saying, since September of this year, you have the money, come and get it. We're also just giving the money to the students based on need, but if you had an extra need, come talk to us. And the financial aid department handles that. As with anything, any grant, there are disallowed costs, right? Every certification form, everything that you read, these are the main disallowed costs that you see on the screen. So marketing endowments, we can't market, we can't recruit with the money, much to a lot of chagrin. We can't advertise the college and say, come here, we'll give you, you know, HERF dollars, so come on over. And this list looks small, but I will have to tell you that as the grants rolled out, there were many times where we thought, okay, yeah, we can use some money for this then. And before the bullet, they changed their mind, right? So we're very careful on how we use the money. We're very careful that we document what it is that allowed us to use the money for this particular activity. And we have all of that documentation in place for the inevitable audit. And for those of you who know me, you know that I'm the director of institutional compliance and reporting, so audits are a big deal to me. Now we go to what we have used it for. So on the screen, you see some uses that we've had. Now would be a good time to tell you about the approved uses. So for student support, if you see there, all of the money that you saw for students, it's added up to about $14 million, as you see on the screen. We can only give that money directly to students. We can't tell them what to do with it. We can't say, here's money, go ahead and pay your tuition with it. We can't say, here's money, go ahead and pay for your books with it. It is to support the cost of education, but we can't tell them to use the money to do that. And that is actually in the documentation from the federal government. We have give it to them directly supporting the students.
So how does that work? Say, here. Well, that shouldn't be too hard to audit.
So the money goes to the students directly through their student accounts, right? And there is an opt-in button on the student portal to say, yes, please use this money towards my tuition. If they just charge to do that, that's what they're going to do. But the money is to support students so they can continue their education. So they might use it outside of the classroom for things outside that you would because they have that money, they can, the idea is that then they can continue their education because they have the support that they need.
But there isn't any real accountability for where they would spend it, right?
Correct.
So they can, like, withdraw it from their account and put it toward a car.
Correct. And that would be transportation for school.
Yeah. That's not correct. What?
Who qualifies as a student? Remember, I have like 13,000 enrolled people, but only about 6,500 that are actually ongoing students, right?
Yes. So you need to be an enrolled student. The government also told us you need to be an enrolled student. You need to, and so what SCF has interpreted that to be, because they didn't tell us how to interpret it, is if you fill out a financial aid application, you have need, because we have to give it to the neediest of students. So if you fill out a FAFSA financial aid application, you have a financial need. And if you're enrolled, you have a financial need because you're going to school and you need the money to help you continue in school. So we do it on a sliding scale, and it's all through the financial aid office. The more credits you're enrolled in, the larger the check is, and the lower in sort of sliding scale to even a 3-credit student gets some financial help. So that is our financial need analysis based on the FAFSA, and that's how we do it here.
So I could run out and take one course and get some money?
You want to do that?
No. Well, I'm you, is that way to
yes, we don't advertise that to students, but it is there.
That's good.
Some of them we have picked up on it. It's been several semesters since we've been doing this. Mm-hmm. But then the students take more credits and they finish their degree sooner and they're out in the community working sooner. We paid off some student debt to the tune of about $300,000. And I will tell you that of the students that we paid off the debt for, and we only did this in the end of October of this year, 32 of those students have returned to us. So that was a good deal. And I don't know how many of others we have just been in debt because they couldn't, and then they couldn't get their transcript, and maybe they transferred, or they decided to come back in a non-credit way. But 32 students have registered again with us as a result of paying off that debt. We used a fair amount of money, as you can see here, for cleaning, virus-related protection. And then the air handling upgrades and dental hygiene programs, those are going to get a lion's share. And that, again, is, you know, meets one of the required uses, and it's sorely needed in the institution. And so, you can read the slide. If there's anything you would like me to explain more on any of these items, this is what we've used the money for, all of which have been allowable. In the end, if you want to use any of the funds, institutional or SIP funds, that's the institution's funds, for the grant money, it has to somehow be related to the coronavirus impact, mitigation of, or to continue students' education and the institution's role.
Can you go over the staffing, like it was planned for 250? Is that just to maintain employment?
No. We've got a couple of positions that the board approved, I want to say last year, for IT, student services. We've hired a couple. We're still hiring some more. And the staffing also includes additional class sections that had to be taught for in the online environment where we moved out, and additional sections to maintain social distancing. So we have the additional faculty adjuncts. So all of that is included in that. Then the hiring of the additional assignments.
Quick question on student debt.
Mm-hmm.
Who does a student owe the money to?
The College of Florida.
And how does a student, so a student can come, take a course, and borrow the tuition money basically with an agreement to pay it back when they're done?
Well, typically when we have students who have debt, it's because they've received federal aid of some sort and then dropped a class. Because now we have to pay the federal government back and collect it from the student.
All right.
These students were in collection, our collection, they can see we paid their debt. And these are, oh, I should also say, these are only the students who were impacted during the time of the coronavirus. So we've got other students in debt, but students who started who were with us as of March 11th and throughout. until the end of fall, beginning of fall semester. And they were there.
Lydia, do you know how many people that it was? You said 32 came back.
Yeah. So again, we only paid this off in October. It was approximately 300 students.
So you got about 10% back.
Yeah. So I'm hoping we'll see more now that they, and we sent them a postcard letting them know that the debt has been paid off. And if you'd like to re-engage with the institution, here are some resources for you. So we're thinking we're going to get some more folks, but as of today, I wanted to share that they were 32. And I'm thinking in the spring semester, given that that's a new semester to register in, we might see some more folks. We'll keep our eye on it. And so just to close out, this is the capital projects that are underway as a result of the HERC funding. And you've heard a lot about these, so I won't need to go over them again. But it is, we're investing over $5 million out of the HERC funds to improve the heating and cooling air ventilation on the campuses. And then we've got the dental hygiene upgrade, which is slowly moving as well. So we'll see how this is. Are there any questions that I can answer for you? Jamie told me I was the only one that stood between you and the door. Merry Christmas, and I'm going to sit back there.
Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you. Now we actually have two more items. does anyone have new business to come before? Right, that much closer to the door. do we have any board comments? Maybe just go around the room.
One thing I'd like to say is that, since I'm new here, maybe y'all already know this, but it's unbelievable to me, and I spent a lot of time in the nursing area, and Carol alluded to, and been a real pain in her side. I appreciate her putting up with me. But we have a simulation, hospital simulation ward at Lakewood Ranch, and if you haven't seen it, it is incredible. And what a teaching tool. And that's probably why we're the fourth, I don't think, but we are the fourth rated nursing school in the state of Florida. So I going up against Florida State, Florida, the University of Miami, it's a well-funded thing. And we're right up there. We lead the nation in our students passing the boards on the first try. I mean, it's an outstanding program we have here. And hope we can market it. I mean, we turn out great nurses. I have lots of proof of that in our hospital when I serve on the board. I mean, it's just a fantastic, and I just want to give kudos to the whole nursing part of our organization. But I tell you, meeting community needs, you alluded to it a few minutes ago, meeting community's needs is what I think we're all about. And of course, there's a huge need. Talked about before, but there's a huge need for nurses, and we're doing our very best to meet that need and find the money that we can get. Senator Boyd has been outstanding, and so are our representatives, and we're going to try and match some of the funds that we can raise, and we can put all this very slippery slope we're going down, putting it all together somehow with the hospital. But if we can get this done, we can turn out another 130, 140 nurses a year. Over 10 years, and these kids are homegrown, They've been raised here. Their boyfriends are here. Their mom and daddy's here. They want to stay here, so they're going to directly affect these hospitals and the eight major hospitals in our two counties. And trying to make everybody understand that's been a little bit more difficult than I had hoped, but we've been working very hard on that, and I just wanted to bring out and just say thank you to what we do here at this college. This robotics thing is the same thing. If you can get some of these industries, if they start to change over to robotics, and I think a lot of them are going to be doing that. A lot of ones we don't even think traditionally in the robotics field. I was reading the article the other day. Industries I never thought would be thinking about robotics are thinking about robotics. I think it's because they can't get employed. And if we can get in that and get them to start paying us to train their employees, that's where some great income should come to be able to come from. Benefits to them to be a financial windfall for us.
Did you get that on video?
Yes. Real quick, as the liaison to the foundation, the Giving Tuesday just happened. We raised over $10,000 compared to last year, which was about $3,200. So that was great. Cassandra, the team, doing a great job. Two events coming up this in the spring, February 19th. These are both Saturday events. February 19th is Avenues to the Future here on this campus, and then Evening Under the Stars, April 9th on the Venice campus. So love to have everybody there. Talk to Cassandra and get individual tickets or table tickets. And we've had great, great charitable donors and community support as of the fiscal year starts October 1st. As of November 30th, fundraising revenue was almost $840,000 compared to $466,000 last year. Now, a good portion of that was $300 from the Baranczyk Foundation, another $150 to come next year. But they're doing a great job, and it's nice to start off the fiscal year on such a positive note. So thank you, Cassandra, and your team. You guys are doing great. And from the foundation, happy holidays to everyone here.
I don't have a lot. Just I hope everyone enjoys the holidays, and we have a prosperous 2022 here at the college.
Yeah, I would just echo that. It's been a crazy couple of years, and let's just hope that 2022 is a little bit more normal and healthy, and just proud to be a trustee at a place that's done such a marvelous job and faced so many challenges.
You're talking about the report you made there. On workshops, I would recommend that we have, if they're, with all the caveat needed from Mr. Crowley here, but if we can do them, if they can be virtual but also in person, I mean a mix, not just one or the other. Because sometimes, I'll be honest, if I'm going to do it virtual, I'm going to at some point not be involved. It's given. But if I have it on my calendar and I go to it, I'm going to be much more able to stay focused. It's just,
it would be nice to have that.
It would be. So I would just like to throw that in there if it's possible. And then I'm just, I'm like everybody, I'm pretty excited about the Coding Academy. I've been back with EDC for years, in which, you know, we had companies just pleading with the EDC and with other organizations, Sarasota EDC in my case, and desperate for all of these sorts of people training. I have friends that are even my age that are coders, and they can basically, whatever they want, they can get paid. Whatever circumstances they want to work in. I mean, they're just gold, right? And it's always in languages I don't understand. They tell me the acronym for this. It's like, good. But the fact is that this is incredibly needy and helpful. I got a feeling it's a drop in the bucket, and I'm hoping that it's so successful that we'll be able to see ways to expand it other ways, which raises the question, where did we stand? Where do we stand on the one for, we talked about for downtown Sarasota as a sort of a branch of it? Is that still out there as a consideration? Well, I know at one point that was a lot of conversation, and then it seems like, you know, we put everything rightly into getting this up and running.
Yeah, so we just revisited that recently, Brad. It's interesting you ask. Right now, industries are telling us that isn't as much of a demand as it had been pre-COVID. So many of us have pivoted effectively.
Right.
Virtually, remotely, otherwise, we have funds set aside in the grant that are available for that use if that continues to be a need, but that's not currently what we're hearing.
Okay, terrific.
Yep.
What's the downtown facility?
That was for a coding
academy.
Yeah,
we
were going to have a downtown Sarasota. In our original proposal, we had a downtown Sarasota presence for the Coding Academy, not just here in our facility on the Bradenton campus. Because industry was saying that was a critical need, and the folks who I work with, I'm on the EDC board now, and so we hear from those folks. That's changed a little bit. Pete Peterson and his folks were just in 26 West hosting an event for 2 days, and the sense is right now that's not necessary. So we haven't totally abandoned it, but right now we're not committing those resources to leasing space to be able to deliver something downtown because it doesn't seem like we need to.
Actually, that's pretty awfully good news.
Yeah.
At least the specific coding part of it.
Yeah.
I think these are the two meetings that I have participated in are
are the most well-run meetings of any board that I've ever participated in. So I just really appreciate how organized everybody is, and I love the mission moment combined with that, you know, the business of the organization. The Coding Academy is amazing. I am so excited about that. The two reasons why my brother left, you know, we're Sarasota natives, and the two reasons why my brother left was there's no cybersecurity businesses really here. He's a cybersecurity expert, and he went to Charlotte, as all young people want to do, and education, because he has a special needs child, and unfortunately it's something in Sarasota means he does very well. So I'm excited to learn that we're going to be growing in that area, and I'm curious, have you talked to Rumble, or have you ever heard of Rumble?
I have not heard of Rumble.
They're coming to Longboat Key. A lot of,
they're a video sharing service that competes with YouTube.
They're wanting to hire like 200 plus people in the next couple of years. So that might be a great opportunity for us to partner with them too. So
they actually indicated because they knew of what we were doing in 26 West, that was one of the reasons they made the choice. The EDC really championed an awareness of what we do. They're content creators, effectively, and so all the content creation that we're going to do in that space, that was part of the factor that pushed them over the edge to come to Sarasota.
Great. All good things.
Good, you're on the EDC board.
What's great is if you look around this room and the great people I get to work with and the leadership team, we are represented on both of the chamber boards in Manatee and Sarasota County, both of the EDC boards in Manatee and Sarasota County, two hospital boards represented by our senior leadership team. So it's just been a pleasure to be able to be part of those conversations at the front end, rather than being brought in the back end when they have some company coming to town and they want us to come talk to them. So I think it's made all the world of difference. And I just say that, you know, I participated in my 39th commencement at the State College of Florida. Spring will be 40th commencement at the State College of Florida. My 20th as president. We have come a long way as an institution, and I have never been more optimistic than I am right now. We've been through a very difficult time, as our entire world and community has been, but I don't think I've ever felt that we've been as well positioned to move forward in huge strides as we are right now, and I just thank the leadership team that I work with and the incredible employees at the State College of Florida. Everybody's exhausted and looking forward to winter break, so enjoy your time off, and thank you. We've never had a better board. I am so pleased to be here and have you working with us and feeling the support that you have for us and the ideas that you bring. So thank you very much. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.